Welcome to Start Writing. I'm Joe Bendosky, and today I have an interview with Alana Terry. This is one of three interviews we're going to be doing with authors who are currently using Patreon as part of their marketing and building their author platforms. So each one has kind of a different approach to it and how they're going about it. So we'll listen for all those. And when we have finished all three interviews, we will then do our own research and compile a marketing episode where we will talk about Patreon based on what we've learned from them. But we decided that early on that both Jay and I don't have enough experience with Patreon to really do an episode on our own about it. So we wanted to get in three solid interviews to kind of get a feel for what people are doing, what works, what doesn't, and all of that. So there's experience and not just research behind the information we will present in that marketing episode. So here's our interview with Alana Terry. So this is my guest, Alana Terry. She is a indie fiction author, and we're going to be talking to her about using Patreon along with her author style and genre and different things like that. So Alana, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
All right. Thanks so much. Hi, I'm Alana Terry. I live in rural Alaska, and I write Christian fiction, mostly suspense, and a lot of my books are set in North Korea, which I'm sure we'll be talking about a little bit later in the show, since that's kind of the crux of the Patreon page I've got set up.
Why don't we just start off with talking about your latest release? What genre is it in? And give us the little hook and the premise of the book or the blurb if it's really short and tight. Just to kind of introduce us to what you write.
Okay. Well, my latest release is actually book 9, the end of the series. But I just started something new I'm super excited about. So it's on pre-order now and coming out in June. It's called Out of North Korea. And this one is kind of in the thriller genre. And it's about a photographer journalist who ends up being arrested in North Korea and held in prison there. So most of my North Korean books to date have been actually about North Korea. So this is the first one that's focusing on an American's experience. So I'm really excited. It's out of North Korea and coming out in June.
So you have mentioned that you are writing in the Christian inspirational genre, kind of an umbrella, and then the sub-genres within that as thriller or romance. So talk to me about what makes a book fit into the Christian or inspirational genre.
Yeah, well, you know, and it's funny because some people don't even know. They're like, what's Christian fiction? I've never heard of it. And other people totally understand, like, that's actually kind of a loaded question because you're going to get a bunch of different answers. Sometimes Christian fiction or inspirational fiction are used interchangeably. And sometimes it just means it's clean, like you're not going to find swearing or like explicit bedroom scenes. And then you also get readers who get really upset if it's just a clean book and there's not like a direct mention about, you know, something, prayer, the Lord, a sermon. I try to not be preachy. I'm kind of known as like the Christian author who doesn't preach at people. But, you know, the characters aren't all Christian for sure, but the themes certainly are. So, for example, the series I mentioned that I just finished, it's the Kennedy Stern Christian Suspense series, and it's about a missionary kid who's starting her first year of college, and she's confronted with all the political things going on, you know, that kind of not growing up in the States and being shielded from that, she hasn't experienced yet. So each book kind of takes a topic that in general a lot of Christians tend to shy away from. So like there's a book on police brutality, a book about homosexuality, stuff like that. So I try to shake things up a little bit and present different sides of arguments that are sort of hot button issues, and then just let the readers decide for themselves kind of where they fall in their beliefs.
So talk to me about writing a clean thriller with non-Christian characters.
Yeah, right? It's not easy. So I have one series, the Agent Co-Spy thriller series, and this, my plan was to publish it as AJ Terry. So it wasn't going to be a total secret that, you know, it was like not a totally different pen name, but it was going to be, you know, my mark, like this is not Christian. But like, even so I knew that some of my typical readers were not going to be okay with actual swearing. So I found this whole website. It was like the scatological euphemism dictionary. And basically I just like gave a whole bunch of euphemisms for stuff. So, you know, the language is for me probably the hardest because I feel really silly having a, you know, like a super horrible character saying like, golly gee, I'm going to shoot you now.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, like, I can understand like you have Christian characters trying to make these moral decisions and part of just their way of being is they keep their language clean. But then you're dealing with villains who are not Christians.
Right.
Like, what justification is them for them not to profane?
To not use these words, yeah. And so I got around that by just, like, I have one character, and I'll warn my readers, like, he's super crass, but he never actually says a bad word. You know, and for some people, that still is too much, and for others, you know, they're okay with that. Wow.
This is a tricky genre to write in. Why pick it?
It is. Yeah.
So, and then as far as the inspirational genre, I mean, I think when we talk nonfiction, I have a pretty good idea of what that is. So talk to me about what defines that genre in fiction writing.
And that's another one where you get, you know, quite a few different answers. I would say, for example, my first book, my debut novel is called The Beloved Daughter. And it's about a girl who's arrested in North Korea and sent to a prison camp because her father's a Christian. And so Christianity's in there, but I think it's got a broader appeal. You know, if I had to guess, I'd say maybe like, you know, 3/4 of the readers are Christian and read Christian fiction, but 1/4 aren't. And it's still got, you know, it's very hard to put into words, but it's got a feel of, you know, like humanity and grandioseness. I mean, I could throw out a bunch of trite phrases, but it's a little hard. I kind of compare that book to some of the really tastefully and artfully done Holocaust films where you leave, you know, not totally depressed and uplifted, even though it's dealing with a heavy topic.
All right. So now let's talk about your marketing of your books. Now, I contacted you because you've been using Patreon, and it's a marketing method I'm not familiar with. So first of all, talk to us why you decided to incorporate Patreon into your book marketing.
Okay. Well, I'm still fairly new. I think I launched it, I forget if it was December of 17 or January of this year.
Oh, wow. So it is still fairly new.
Yeah. Yeah. It had been on my radar for a little bit. I do listen to quite a few writing podcasts, and I know that Patreon is becoming more and more common for podcasters to, you know, have little, not ads, but you know, like they'll mention and promote their Patreon pages. And I watched that for a while, like maybe even a full year, and wondered how it would really work with fiction or if it would work with fiction. Mm-hmm. And then finally decided, I really ramped up my publication maybe about a year ago. It actually was a result of my husband really encouraging me to set a goal for doing a book a month, a novel a month.
Jeez Louise, that is insane.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, there's a lot of people doing it. And I felt like, wow, maybe this isn't as crazy as it sounded. And like I hired a VA and I hired one extra editor so I don't have to worry as much about, you know, having polished first drafts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so once that happened and I realized, okay, I'm kind of, you know, like I'm on the verge of maybe taxing my readers. You know what I mean? Like I definitely have some who do go out and buy every book and I'm super thankful for that. But I know that not everybody can afford that or, you know, they also have other things they want to read. So
yeah. Well, some people just don't read that much.
You know? Exactly. Yeah. And I also was hearing all these projections about how much more subscription models are becoming, you know, the thing, you know, like starting with Netflix and going on to, you know, Kindle Unlimited and all these other things where you just pay one fee for, you know, basically unlimited access to stuff. So I sort of thought of my Patreon page as that at first. And it's not exactly unlimited, but there are different levels. So at the $3 level, people can request one free book a month. At the $10 level, they can request 3 free books a month. And then at the $15 level, they can request, they get the 3 free books a month, and they also just get regularly the pre-orders as soon as they're totally ready.
Right.
So they get them a little bit early. And then I think it's $30 gets you all of that plus a paperback a month. And so that's how I set it up. But I also have spent a lot of my career focusing on North Korea in my books, but also in my fundraising. And so I have been connected with an organization called Liberty in North Korea basically since my first book came out. I just celebrated my 5-year bookiversary for my debut. Yeah. And when I published that, I got in touch with this group called Liberty in North Korea and basically just wanted to brainstorm with them, like, hey, I write these books. I would love to, you know, come up with some fundraisers. So I've done all kinds of different fundraising things, all the way from, you know, like for this week, all the proceeds from this book are going to be donated to, at one point, I had a box set that I actually set up on Pronoun and didn't even give Pronoun my payment information. I just gave, you know, them Link's payment information. So I had that going for a little bit. And so this is just kind of another way I thought that might be really fun to help raise both funds and awareness for Liberty in North Korea, also known as Link, and still be giving my readers the chance to kind of stay up on as many books of mine as they wanted to get.
So, okay. So I do want to point out to the audience here, Alana's Patreon page, all of the proceeds go towards her charity here. And so she's not actually collecting those as an author. And so that's why she had mentioned that. It seemed like if you didn't know that piece of information, it was kind of a long tangent there. So that's why she's mentioning that here. Okay. So before launching the Patreon page, did you do any research or meet with any authors, talk about what other people were doing and to kind of get a feel for what was working and how to organize it?
What I did was I actually tested it with my newsletter subscribers. And so in one of my just regular, you know, like, hey, I'm writing to you guys updates, I had a question that said, hey, if you had the chance to get, at that point, I was still thinking that maybe I'd call it unlimited reading, kind of like a streaming thing, like unlimited Alana Terry eBooks for one, you know, monthly fee and all the proceeds go to support a really neat charity. Would you be interested? Mm-hmm. And so I think at that point I had maybe went out to 5,000 people on my email list, maybe a little less. And I got a little over 100, if I remember right, who clicked like, yes, I'd be interested. And so then I figured, okay, well, that's, you know, that's decent. And so I set up my Patreon page just kind of almost as a test. And I just sent an email to those 100 or so people who had indicated they would be interested. Mm-hmm. And said, you know, first of all, can you tell me, does this page look clear? Does it make sense what you're getting? Does it sound to you like a good deal? Is there anything about the page itself or the promotion itself that's confusing? And by the way, if you wanted to sign up now, go ahead. And just from that initial response, you know, maybe it was a little more, but I ended up with like over $100 in pledges just from that, which was really encouraging. And so then I decided, I think I waited a month. The funny thing with Patreon is they don't process payments till the first of the month. And so like if you get someone who signs up at the beginning of the month, they're sort of waiting a really long time to get, you know, anything good from you. And so I think I waited one more month to roll around and then sent a few emails to my whole newsletter group. And now it's up to about 250 a month.
Oh, good. Okay, so that was your initial launch. You contacted your subscriber list. Have you done any marketing or promotion of the Patreon page outside of that?
No, I have a sequence that I roll out to any new subscribers now. It's kind of part of my automation process so that new subscribers once a month, like I said, at the end of the month, I'm promoting it to people who haven't heard about it yet on my subscriber list. And I think maybe in the back of a few of my specifically North Korea books, yeah, I have a mention of it with a link. But, you know, other than, like I've mentioned it once or twice on Facebook, I haven't done a ton outside of promoting it to my newsletter list.
So, well, great. Okay. Retention. Is there anything you do to manage retention specifically, or have you tried and didn't work? Like, how are you managing your retention there?
Yeah, I was a little nervous about that, you know, because I'm like, okay, well, these people, maybe they're just going to sign up and get a few free books and then be gone. It hasn't been a huge deal at this point. I think there have maybe been one or two patrons who signed up to sort of get caught up on my backlist. And once they got caught up, they were kind of like, okay, I'm ready to take a break, which is totally fine. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I've got two groups of supporters. One are the people who really just want to support the organization and, you know, stay connected to my work. And the other who really do just want to catch up on the backlist. Right. And so that's fine. But no, retention hasn't been a huge problem yet. But again, we're still kind of new into it. But what I do have, I sent everybody just like a surprise when, like I said, book 9 of my Christian suspense series came out in April. And I gave everybody a free copy, no matter what patron level they were at. And it was all, you know, everyone got it a few days early. I hadn't announced that I was going to do that or anything. And what I'd like to do is kind of maybe once a quarter or so, do some kind of surprise, not even necessarily a free novel, but, you know, a giveaway or something, just so people still do feel connected and engaged. You know, I try to be very profuse in letting people know, like, you guys are doing me a favor. It's not the other way around.
Supporter. So talk to me about the North Korea thing in general. Like, your first novel was about North Korea. Your charity is about North Korea. So talk to me about why the big emphasis there.
Yeah, a lot of people ask me that. When I do book signings with my North Korea books, I would say the two most common questions I get are, have you been to North Korea? And, well, no. And then it's, well, are you Korean? And again, the answer is no. I'm half Japanese, half, you know, just Caucasian. But from the time I was a teen, I was super interested, and it sounds actually kind of morbid, but following the stories of people who experienced religious persecution, it just kind of became a burden I had that weighed heavily on me. And I read quite a few books about it, even as a teen. And North Korea has been ranked. There's actually a watchdog group that ranks countries in terms of their degree of persecution, religious persecution. And North Korea has been number one on that list. I think it's over 13 years now. Last I checked, it was 13 years, and it's been a few years since. And so it just kind of evolved from a sort of generalized wanting to know more about religious persecution to studying North Korea more. And I've always wanted to do novels. So by the time I decided, okay, I'm going to write a novel about someone experiencing Christian persecution in North Korea, it really felt like a very natural next step.
So that's kind of the bulk of my questions about Patreon. So I kind of just want to talk to you about your writing in general. Mm-hmm. How would you define the age group appeal of your books? We've mentioned that it's inspirational, that it's Christian, but do you have kind of an age group? Is it YA or is it new adult or just adult? How would you?
I would say adult. Through things like serving my newsletter list and even figuring out what kind of audiences work best for my Facebook ads and things like that, it seems to be primarily like middle-aged women seem to be my
really
kind of core demographic.
Because mm-hmm. I mean, your 9-book series, it talks about a kid missionary.
Oh, I know. Yeah, yeah.
So that's really surprising to me.
Student.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't think I would have known that unless
you like, the two things Facebook that really data. Did help. Yeah,
yeah. It was really nice last year before the end of the year surveying my list, and then again, like I said, figuring out. I'm pretty new to Facebook ads. I've just started that maybe in the past half year, and seeing what target audiences work out best has actually been really, really revealing. Like I would say, even if you're not running Facebook ads to like get traffic or sell books or something, just figuring out your demographic is super helpful. Yeah.
So when you found this out, did it change any of your marketing or your ads or did it, how did it impact your marketing? Realizing that while your books seem to be written to kind of a new adult, end of young adult audience, it was actually appealing to a much older audience. Did it change anything for you?
I did decide to try my hand at just romance. So up until last fall, all of my books would have just been categorized as Christian or inspirational suspense or thrillers. And yeah, I think some of that was after realizing, you know, I've got a lot of middle-aged and a lot of elderly women reading my books. And so I did try just some straight-up romance, which I still plan on continuing, but I definitely want to make sure that suspense is still kind of the main thing. And, you know, romance is just one of the little side things I dabble in when I need a break from like the super, super heavy and scary stuff. And then the other thing, I would actually say that even setting up the Patreon page was in part by figuring out my demographic, because I get emails a decent amount from people saying things like, you know, oh, thank you for making this book free. Like, if you go to my website, you can get 3 free novels for joining my Reader's Club. And I'll get emails from people saying, thank you for making these books free. I'm, you know, 67 years old and on a fixed income and can only afford free books. So on the one hand, I'm like, oh, great, you like my books, you know, but on the other hand, I'm like, okay, am I actually like targeting people who can only get free books? You know? So one of the things I did, and, you know, like, I'm still totally happy to have these readers. And to be honest, like, one of them turned into one of my beta readers and is now a paid editor, which is like amazing. Like, she's incredible. So I totally love having those people on my list, but it did make me rethink. At one point I was running Facebook ads to give away a prequel romance for free, and I decided to hold off on that and focus a little more on paid books. I don't do perma-free a ton anymore, other than the, you know, the 3 free books you get for signing up.
Okay, so talk to me about how you built your marketing list. So you mentioned it was 5,000 strong. You've got, you know, beta readers that have turned into editors. How did you build this group of followers initially?
Initially, it was just a sign up in the back of the book. You know, we're talking like 4 or 5 years ago. There wasn't any freebie. I went like 6 months without emailing because I only was writing a book or two a year at the beginning. But, you know, they were still on the list. I did a few giveaways, like back when blog tours were super, super popular. And actually, I still do blog tours every once in a while. But back when, like, they were really like the thing with a capital T, I would do giveaways where people could sign up for the list. So there was that. Last fall, like I mentioned, I tried my hand at doing Facebook lead gen ads to get new subscribers by giving away that prequel romance novel. And it did okay. But, you know, I was a little bit concerned about people who were just in it for the free book. Yeah. And I also realized that if I was going to really, really focus on the romance side of things, it was almost like I was going to have to manage 2 totally separate lists and almost 2 separate brands, you know, even though both the suspense and the romance fall under Christian fiction, it really is 2 different kinds of readerships.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, that's why I said I just kind of, I turned off those ads and decided that I'm still going to write some romance, but my main focus is going to continue to be suspense. And, you know, in the past year or so, I've done some of the multi-author promos, like the Ryan Z promos or Insta freebie kinds of things. I'm not doing those as much right at the moment because of all those new rules with, you know, like privacy and how you can handle people's information. I still don't understand that enough that I need to kind of step back. And I've actually done some coaching with Larissa Reynolds, who is an email marketing coach for fiction authors. And that's been super helpful too. She kind of helps me fine tune my strategies and my emails and stuff like that.
Great. Okay. So let's talk about writing craft, since that's a big emphasis on our here. What do you think is the strongest part of your writing, and how did you develop it?
It's a good question. I think my books are known for being a little edgier than most Christian fiction authors go, because there kind of is a formula in traditional, we're talking like 20 years ago, traditional Christian fiction. And that was, you know, like, nothing too scary happens. Nobody's too evil. And, you know, like, you can pray and things are going to be okay by the end. And, you know, that's a very, very obvious generalization. But, you know, like I said, I try to throw things into the mix that, you know, that are like the real hard hitting questions. Like, you know, what happens if you pray for someone to get healed and they die, and now you're left with, okay, so either God didn't hear me, or he's not powerful enough to heal, or maybe he doesn't even exist, or, you know, like, there's all these questions. So I try to be real authentic with my characters. I would say that that's probably one of the real strengths in them. And then also just not being afraid to dive into some of these issues that you know, up until recently, the Christian fiction audience hasn't really embraced.
Okay, so now let's talk about the bad. So what is something you see in another author's writing where you put the book down and be like, I can't?
Yeah, you know, this is funny. I don't ever admit this like publicly to my own audience, but I actually don't read a ton of Christian fiction because a lot of it is super cheesy. So like my library is mostly either like straight up thrillers or psychological thrillers. I actually really, really enjoy historical fiction. But the things that really, you know, like super stilted dialogue, like if I'm talking to you and every other word I say is your name, like nobody truly talks.
I've never seen that. I mean, I've seen that in writing group. I've never seen that in a book.
I know. You know, it's like, so Joseph, I was thinking about it. And oh, by the way, Joseph, you know, like it feels super unnatural. So for me, I think the thing that turns me off quickest, that I can spot the quickest, is probably, you know, like really canned dialogue.
Huh. All right. So, okay. So that's everything I had on my end. Is there anything you'd been thinking about and wanted to discuss from all the material I've sent you and whatnot?
Well, you know, for anybody who is listening interested in Patreon, I would say, you know, it's at the very least, give it a shot. It's been a really neat way, not only like to get the extra income, you know, which in my case is just going to someone else anyway, but it's actually set up like a mini social network. So like I can do secret videos that only my paid supporters can see. It makes it really easy to give out like broadcasts just to patrons. Like if I wanted to give a special freebie or something just to patrons at the $15 a month level or something, make it really easy to do that. So to me, you know, the extra income is almost secondary to being able to connect more with people, which has been really neat. I can't think of anything else aside from that, though.
All right. Well, why don't you tell our readers where they can find you and your writing and connect with you on any kind of social media?
Yeah. So my website is alanaterry.com. If you do happen to like Christian fiction, or, you know, even if you're just curious, like what's this all about, you can go to alanaterry.com and sign up to get those three free novels. For anybody who's a little bit more interested in the North Korea side of things, the new book I mentioned that's coming out in June called Out of North Korea is on pre-order. And that would be one that I would say is probably going to be split. Like you don't have to read Christian fiction or be a Christian or consider yourself a Christian. That one's, you know, it's more about the story and this American's experience in North Korea. So if you're interested in hearing about what's going on, you can pre-order that. It's called Out of North Korea. And then you can check out my fundraising page. It's just at patreon.com/alanaterry. It's the Patreon page I have set up. And that again supports Liberty in North Korea, which is a great organization.
All right. So Alana Terry, just in general, kind of how you're going to find her, that's ALANATERRY. So .com or just Amazon searches or Patreon, you should be able to find her there. All right, Alana, thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you. It was a lot of fun.
As always, thanks for listening. We would love it if you would leave us a review on whatever platform you listen to the podcast. If you want to support the show, we do not have a Patreon page or anything like that. All we want is for you to check out one of our books. And if you enjoy the book, leave us a review there as well. Would be great. The keywords are available on the website, and the updates are there by Saturday afternoon if you want to get the latest keywords of the week. The updates are only available to the newsletter subscribers. So if you want to get access to those, subscribe to the newsletter. And let your fellow authors know about this great opportunity to save them a ton of time so they can get more writing done. And as always, thanks for listening. That's the end of our episode, so it's time to start writing.